The following is a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 19, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 18th, 2012, at Bhakti Bhavan in Albert Park, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yata dipo nivatasto nengate sopamasmrita yogino yachitit jasha yunjato yogamatmanaha Yata dipo nivatasto nengate sopamasmrita yogino yachittasya yunjato yogamatmanah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. Purport. A truly Krishna conscious person, always absorbed in transcendence, in constant undisturbed meditation on his worshipable Lord, is as steady as a lamp in a windless place.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitam Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Badijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamscha.
So what's the opposite? The dancing mind, is it? You can have a steady mind like a lamp in a windless blaze. Are you going to have a flickering, dancing mind like a lamp in a windy place? Let's see. There's one of two positions you can be in. There's no in-between. It's either one or the other. Your mind is either steady or it's flickering. You see. So in our conditioned state of consciousness, where minds are flickering, they're always dancing here and there, you see. Like monkeys in Vrindavan, dancing, running, jumping here, jumping there. Those mischievous monkeys, when you go to Vrindavan, they'll steal your glasses. Many times we see they steal people's glasses, or they steal your bead bag, you see, or your banana, or any. I was coming out of the Radharaman temple one day. I got in some very special maha, Radharaman maha, a little clay pot, and wow, this is great. It's walking out the door of the temple, and all of a sudden it was gone. I don't know what happened. It disappeared from my hand. And there was a monkey running about 20 yards ahead of me, running away as fast as he could. He was so expert, I didn't even feel it. He's an expert pickpocket, you see. So we can be a mischievous monkey like that, you see, trying to steal sense gratification here in this material world wherever we can, you see. Or we can be a steady-minded sage fixed in Krishna consciousness. So it's really up to you. What do you want? Just like if you to get a college degree, you have to make your determination, you have to work for it, isn't it? So, this is the ultimate achievement. You have a fixed mind, a steady mind, you see. Like a lamp in a windowless place. There are different systems of doing that. One is the Ashtanga system, you know. Yam, niyam, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, jhana, dharana, samadhi, like that. That takes many lifetimes to do it, you see. You have to go to the Himalayas, find a nice cave, move in with the snakes or whatever is living in there, your roommate, new roommates, you see. No central heat, no iPhone, no laptop, you see. No clothes, maybe a few torn rags, you see. No contact with friends and family, no rupees. Just you depending on just you and the elements. You spend your whole life that, whole lifetime like that, just doing your deep breathing and your pranayama, your asanas. And for you have to do it for many lifetimes, many, many, many lifetimes. And finally you reach a point where you can fix your mind at one point. That's called the samadhi stage. But that's a very long, laborious process. And who can do that? How many people are qualified to leave up everything, go to the Himalayas or go to some wilderness place on the Ganga? How many people are qualified to actually do that, spend the rest of their life giving up all contact with everyone in the material society? It's an extremely rare person who can do that. And even those who can, it takes them many lifetimes to achieve the perfection. So, the prime recipient of the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita is not a yogi, but it's Arjuna. He's a warrior. Don't put the hand in the mouth there. Dirty. He's a warrior. He has a family to maintain. He has several wives, children to maintain. He has duties to serve his brother Yudhisthira. He can't just go off and be a yogi, you see. But yet, he is able to achieve the same perfection of the yogis much quicker. In one lifetime, he can achieve the same perfection of the yogis as the yogis, you see. Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham mangatena tadatmana shadavan yajateyo yam samayukta tamomataha. He says, of all the yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping on me in transcendental loving service, is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So, the path of bhakti, the path of Krishna consciousness, is the superior yoga system. The hatha yogi, he's mechanically fixing his mind. It's not a natural fixing of the mind. It's a forced fixing of the mind. Okay, mind, I'm going to keep you forced, you see. Force you to stay on that point by my yogic power. But there's no love, there's no feeling, there's no attraction. It's just brute force, you see. Even if one achieves that samadhi stage, as Vishwamrita Muni did, you see. He became very powerful in his yoga practice. He achieved the samadhi stage, but Indradeva was so worried that now this yogi has achieved samadhi, he can take over my post by his yogic power. So he sent Menaka, that beautiful heavenly damsel, you see, to seduce the yogi, and the yogi fell for him. As soon as he heard ching, ching, oh, a woman has come. In this remote place, a woman has come. Let me check this out. His yoga was finished. So why work so hard to achieve something where you don't even have the power to resist a beautiful woman? You see? Because you don't have a higher taste. See, a Vaishnava, he can resist the power of a beautiful woman because he has a relationship with the supreme source of all the beautiful women, Krishna. You see? All beauty of all types comes from Krishna. All power, all beauty, all knowledge, all renunciation, all wealth, all fame. Everything is coming from Krishna. So if you connect with Krishna, there's nothing of this world that can attract you. There's nothing of this world that can allure you. Because you're connected with the source of everything that's attractive in the world. You understand? So therefore the devotee, he is in the strong position, you see. He cannot be swayed. He is truly like a lamp in a windless place. His mind is like a lamp in a windless place. Truly. So we have many questions. Many, many questions. Okay. Plants have life. They breathe. They communicate with each other. We eat them. How can we say we are vegetarians? Well, if you eat only vegetables, you're a vegetarian, but you get the karma. You kill a carrot, you become a carrot. Papa told us in Atlanta, if you kill a rich man or a poor man, you're still guilty of murder. So you're still a killer, even if you eat vegetables. But you offer to Krishna, you see, then you're freed from the karma. So we are not vegetarian, we are Krishnatarian. Don't think being a veg. Well, I'm veg, you see. I'm veg and I'm proud because I'm veg. Monkeys are also veg and they're simply nonsense. So don't be just veg. You have to be Krishna veg, you see. Krishnatarian. What is the significance of this verse, Vandeham Sri Guru? It is offering obeisances to the spiritual master, the spiritual masters, and all the great Vaishnava acharyas. I love to chant it before I begin speaking, because I'm not speaking on my own behalf. I'm speaking on behalf of these great acharyas. So I pray this day with deep meditation to beg that their mercy can flow through me. You see, that when I speak, all the blessings, all the potency, all the shaktis of these great acharyas can flow through me when I speak. I'm begging for that empowerment from these acharyas. Why only worship Krishna? Why only feed your belly? Every part of your body needs nourishment, doesn't it? You get a cut on your cheek, you have to. There must be nourishment to heal that cut, isn't it? So why don't you take the rice and rub it on your face? Because when you feed your belly, that every part of your body is nourished. So when you worship Krishna, then every part of your everything is nourished. How to feel the presence of Krishna while chanting? Well, the first thing is you have to remember that Krishna is present in the form of his name. So Krishna is here. Let me just realize Krishna is actually here and chant that name as if he is present in the name, because he is. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you for coming in the form of your name. In this way, if you remind yourself and chant in a mood of welcoming Krishna into your midst, into your presence, then you will gradually feel how he is present. And from your vast experience in Krishna consciousness, what is the most important thing you achieved? The lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. What is the importance of attending the morning program? Well, would you like to have your head on straight or your head on backwards? What do you think? If you went to work and your head was screwed on backwards and your head was pointing the opposite direction, it'd be a little hard to function, wouldn't it? You'd be disoriented. My head got put on backwards today. I don't know what happened. My head's on backwards. I don't know how I can relate, you know. My hands go this way and my head's going the other way. So not going to the morning program or having a morning sadhana is like, it's like beginning your day with your head put on backwards. I mean, it's very difficult to do things properly. You may say, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's because you had your head on backwards for so many lifetimes, you don't even realize it. Once you actually taste the morning program, you experience the ecstasy of connecting with Krishna in the early morning hours. You wouldn't give it up for anything. You wouldn't give it up for anything. So, do something. The holy name is best chanted before sunrise. So some people, they don't get up till after the sun comes up. It's insane. You're wasting your human form of life if you sleep through sunrise every day. You get up before the... You must beat the sun every morning. Beat him to a rising. And you must be up before the sun gets in here in Melbourne, you see, every day. How can we be sure that if we practice Krishna consciousness throughout our life, Krishna will be there and protect us at the time of death? Here's how you can be sure. If you're practicing properly Krishna consciousness now, you will feel how he is present now. So he's present now, and he's present tomorrow, and he's present the next day. He'll also be present for you at the time of death. You have to learn how to feel and connect with his presence right now. That's the point. Can you please explain the process by which we fell down from the spiritual world? It's the misuse of independence. Krishna Bahumukha, the Prabhupada quotes a verse from the Prema Vivarta. He says, when you turn your face away from Krishna, then Maya grabs you and gives you a big slap. You see? So we foolishly turned our face away from Krishna. You may say, well, here's an example. Just like a little kid, you know. A little Amit. The mother says, my dear son, whatever you do, don't stick... They have a gas stove in the kitchen. My dear son, whatever you do, don't stick your hand in the fire. It will burn. So Amit, he says, you don't know what burn means. The parents are warning him, don't do this, but... I mean, that fire really looks beautiful, that nice blue flame up there, you know. They always say it'll burn. You think, why are they denying me this pleasure, you know? There must be some pleasure they're denying me. So one day the mother goes out of the kitchen, and sure enough, he sticks his hand in that flame, and he's screaming and crying. The mother comes running. He'll never do it again, but, you know, he wanted to experience it. So sometimes we misuse our freedom, you see, and we want to try to be the enjoyer. And we come to this material world to try to enjoy it. And then we get burned. We realize, this: I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to do this mistake again. Whenever the world is in danger, God comes to the earth. Now the world is in the stage of danger, and modern science and ancient scriptures said that earth will be destroyed or doomed in 2012 or ever. No, and that's not true. They have misinterpreted some of the South American Indian documents, completely speculated and interpreted. The world will not be destroyed in 2012. My question is, would God come to the earth? God has already come. He's come in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement. He's here now. Are you taking advantage of his presence or not? God is here. He has come. Even when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, very few people recognized that he was God. So he has now come in the form of this movement. Have you recognized that or not? That God has actually appeared. Have you given your life to this movement? How many of you have fully surrendered your lives to this movement, Krishna consciousness movement? You see, if you haven't, that means you're God has come, but you're not taking advantage of his presence here. Why is reading Bhagavatam important? Dharma prajadagaitava utarpalamo nirmatsaranam satam Bejam vastamastam shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Shri Mad Bhagavate Mahamune Kingvarai Prayarishvaraha Sanjohid Yavrate Krokuti Vishu Shru Shubish Tachanat. This is Bhagavatam 112. Completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. this beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled with the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for self-realization, God-realization. Whoever attentively and submissively hears the message of this Bhagavatam, for him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will become solidly established within his heart. So now do you understand why you need to read the Bhagavatam? In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna tells in one of the slokas that no one in this universe I like or love, and no one in this universe I hate. He says, he doesn't say he doesn't love them. He says, I'm not partial to anyone. He never says, I don't love them. I'm not partial to them. I'm equal to all. That's what he said. So this is a misquote. You've not read Bhagavad Gita. You've not properly understood Gita. Krishna doesn't favor. He has no favorites. He's equal to everyone. And he reciprocates with you. He reciprocates love with you to the degree that you reciprocate love with him. He's ready to give all love to everyone. He's simply waiting for them to reciprocate. If Jesus was a Vaishnava, then why was he displaying mystic power walking on water? He was trying to attract the people to hear his message. That's why. Have you heard him referred to as a bogey yogi? No. Christ was a pure Vaishnava. He was not a bogey yogi. Krishna has infinite names, so what difference does it make if many others are worshipping him through other names? It doesn't make any difference. But it has to be an actual name of Krishna, not a name of a demigod. It doesn't mean that every name is a name for Krishna. He has infinite names, but it doesn't mean that every name is Krishna's name. How important is cleanliness external, especially when a devotee feels that he is clean within to do service? Well, that devotee thinks he's clean within, but actually he's dirty within. Therefore, he needs to clean externally to help himself become clean within. He's dirty within. With lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Well, I'm a pure devotee, Prabhu, why don't I take a bath? I mean, give me a break, you know. You're a rascal. You're contaminated. So you better take external bath to help purify your consciousness. What are the other principles we can follow apart from chanting and following the four regulative principles? There are five principles given especially in the beginning of the list by Rupa Goswami. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, follow his instructions, take initiation. These items are given as positive action, regulative principles by Rupa Goswami in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, as quoted by Prabhupada in the Nectar Devotion. Sometimes I think serving devotees is not helping me to develop attraction for Krishna. How to understand the importance of devotee association? Well, I can tell you, my dear devotee, if you're not getting it, if serving the Vaishnavas is not helping you develop attraction for Krishna, you're not serving them properly. You're not serving in the proper mood. Because if you actually serve the Vaishnavas in the proper mood of devotion, then that you will feel the more you become absorbed in serving Vaishnavas, your attraction for Krishna will naturally manifest. Devotee association is absolutely important. Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta shtate janaha. He said, if you're my devotee, this is very elementary Sanskrit, he says, if you think that you're my devotee, na may bhaktas. I think you can figure that one out. You're not my devotee. If you are my devotee, Krishna says, you're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. So how much are you the devotee of the devotees? You see? Only to that extent are you actually accepted by Krishna. It's very serious. You have to be a devotee of the devotees. If we are doing the job where we have to sell the meat, I know this is sinful, but can we consider this as a job which is prescribed by Krishna?
No.
If not, then why did Krishna help us finding the job? You think Krishna helped you? Maya helped you find the job, not Krishna. Sorry, Krishna didn't say, come on here, come down to Joe's meat shop, I got a nice job waiting for you. Krishna never arranged that. It was Maya Devi arranged that, not Krishna. So you got to find a new career, sorry. You know, do anything, but don't work at a meat shop. Please accept my humble obeisance. Why do we forget our past lives? Wouldn't it be easier to be Krishna conscious if we remembered our past? Yes, it's very simple. Have you heard of post-trauma stress disorder? It's a psychological disease. PTSD. Have you heard of that in psychology? Post-trauma stress disorder. People who are in that World Trade Center who survived it, they have horrible nightmares. Regularly, they just can't get that thought of that day when that building crashed and they were in it and somehow they got out, but it was the most hellish thing you could ever imagine, and they just can't get out of their head, and they have horrible dreams, and they go to psychologists, they try to clean it up, but they can't get it out. It's just haunting them, the memory of that experience of being in the World Trade Center when those jets hit them. You see, so well. You were in a hellish situation in a previous life as an animal body or a tree body, unbelievably hellish condition, and you've been blessed by forgetfulness, so you're not suffering from post-trauma stress disorder at every minute. How can we express our gratitude towards Krishna? Surrender. Why is chanting the Maha Mantra important? Because it's the only way you can awaken your dormant love for God. How can one find time for serving devotees personally in his daily schedule and busy lifestyle? There's so many things. Do you take prasadam? You can invite the devotees to take prasadam with you. You can cook prasadam. You take prasadam every day, so instead of just eating alone, invite the devotees to take prasadam with you. You see. If you're cooking something, you make extra quantity and invite devotees to take prasadam. You see, that's one of the things. You can serve the Vaishnavas by serving them prasadam. Giving gifts to the devotees, revealing your heart to the devotees. If you have the desire, Krishna will give you the time to do it. How to develop a taste for chanting? I've been chanting for a few years now, but still it is very mechanical and the mind is very hard to control. Well, are you avoiding the 10 nama parad? Are you chanting for wealth? If someone says, I'm not getting any taste, they're chanting Hare Krishna and they're begging Krishna for a job. I'm chanting Hare Krishna so I can get a job, but I'm not getting any taste for the name. You have to chant in the mode of pure bhakti, simply for the point of awakening your dormant love for Krishna. Chant for that purpose. Don't chant for any material purpose. And if you chant in a pure state like that, you will feel the awakening of the love of God happening within your heart. Just like the sunrise on an early spring, on a beautiful spring morning. It comes. It definitely comes. You have to be patient. You have to keep practicing it. You have to avoid the 10 namaparads, and you will feel it, how it is coming. How do I know that practicing Krishna consciousness is the right thing to do? Well, it's very simple. If you will do it, you will personally meet Krishna face to face, eye to eye, eventually, and then it will be very clear that you did the right thing. When you meet the Supreme Person as the source of all existence, it will be very clear that you did the right thing. Until then, take the testimony of those who have seen Krishna, like Narad Muni. Take their testimony. It is said that humans are not meant to eat meat because the digestive system is different from meat-eating animals, and therefore the meat needs to be cooked. But also there are certain vegetables that need to be cooked, like eggplant, before it can be eaten. Actually, you can eat it raw. You can eat raw eggplant. You like it? Also, why are Chhatri is allowed to eat meat if it is not meant for humans? Well, Kshatriyas are giving a concession. If they under certain conditions, they're allowed to eat meat. It is a concession that is given to Kshatriyas. If they kill a wild animal in the forest, according to the Kshatriya principles, then they can take that meat. But who is doing that nowadays? No one's following that Kshatriya principles. You're killing a wild animal in the forest. So therefore, no one can eat meat. How do we know we are making spiritual advancement? Three things. Three symptoms of making spiritual advancement. You will feel your love for Krishna developing more and more. You will experience Krishna within everything more and more, within every sight, within every sound, within every smell, within every sensation. You will feel connected with Krishna through all of your senses, in all times, places. You'll look out at the city of Melbourne and you will think, Krishna says, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. You look at the Melbourne skyline and see, oh, look at all those pearls resting on the string of Krishna, you see. So, and then the last item is, as you become more Krishna conscious, viraktir, you become completely detached and disinterested in material sense gratification. It doesn't appeal to you anymore. And then you know you're making advancement. How can we develop the attitude? Trinadapi sanichena tororapi sahishnuna amannina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Well, if you'll chant it with great feeling and intensity, deeply meditating on this mantra, the mantra itself will empower you to enter into the mood of it. That's the great power of these mantras. If God has everything, why does He need our love? Actually, God has everything except for our love. That's the one thing He's lacking, is our love. If I do a sin, then how do I repent for it? You have to surrender to Krishna. Any other form of repentance will not give you any lasting benefit. You have to surrender to Krishna and get that higher taste of bhakti. And then the sin will, you might be tempted to sin again. Otherwise you will sin again and again and again. Why is singing Nishinga Arati important? When our temples were attacked by demons, Prabhupada introduced this Nishinga Dev mantra. It invokes the protection of Nishinga Dev. I've seen how it has great power. One time I was in our Miami temple many years ago. There used to be, in the old days, we would all take hot milk in the evening because Prabhupada said that milk is necessary for developing brain tissue, for understanding Vedic wisdom. I don't know how many of you all drink hot milk every evening, but this was Prabhupada's program to drink hot milk every evening. And this was the standard activity in every ISKCON temple in those days, during Prabhupada's time. We all get together in the prasadam and we take hot milk and read Krishna book together. It was very nice. So one night during hot milk prasadam, we had a surprise visit. A couple of bandits showed up with weapons, a pistol and a shotgun. And it wasn't your typical evening in the prasadam room. They had actually first gone to the kitchen. They tried to knock out the cook and tie him up. He actually pretended he was knocked out so they wouldn't hit him again on the head. And then they grabbed a Brahmacharini, they put the pistol to her head, and they put their hand on her mouth, and they brought her to the prasadam room and used her as a bait. They had the gun in her head and said, "Everybody get on the floor." They ordered us to get on the floor, get down on the floor. So I said, what is this nonsense, you know? I was thinking, not a Shingadeva will protect us. What am I going to listen to these guys, you know? So I just yelled out, Nishringadev! Well, that Brahman Shrini didn't have the gun in her head anymore. I had the guns pointed at me at that point. And, but you see, I had called out Nishringadev knowing that he would protect. I knew that if I uttered Nishringadev's name, he would protect from this danger. And actually, as soon as I uttered Nishringadev, the whole thing turned against the thieves. And here's what happened. The Prasadam room was adjoining the temple treasury, and we had cash in there from the Santirkan collection. There was money right there in the treasury, right through the door. Exactly what they wanted was right through the door. Actually, the temple president just came nonchalantly coming out to get hot milk prasadam out of the treasury. He had no idea there was an armed robbery going on at the temple. He just comes out the door to get some milk prasadam. He looks, he sees these thieves and all the devotees on the floor, the guys with a shotgun and a pistol, and he's gone. And he turns around and walks back into the treasury. I think, I don't want to be in this room. And the thief came at him, he turned the pistol around and took the butt of the gun and smashed the temple president on the head and cut him. There was blood coming out of his head, but it wasn't a minor cut. Didn't knock him out. But our temple president was very cool-headed. Abhiram Prabhu, he's still a devotee. He stays now at MBT in Vrindavan. He was really cool-headed, very intelligent, clever man. The temple treasurer was sitting there at the desk in the treasury office with a loaded revolver in the desk drawer. He told the treasurer out loud, we could all hear it, even the other way out in the room, he said, get the gun and shoot the bastard. And that's all those thieves had to hear. They were running like scared rabbits out the door. But in those days, and even here, if Aniruddha tells you to do something, you do it, right? So the treasurer did it. He picked up that gun. He came running to the door. Kapow! You know, he missed. But I saw that all I had, just by uttering the Sringadev's name, the whole thing turned around. These thieves had everybody on the floor. They were running to kill somebody to get the money. I mean, it was a heavy scene. They had a loaded shotgun, a loaded pistol. They had the gun at her head. It was a heavy scene. But just by yelling out the Sringadev, the whole thing turned around and they were running out the door, you see. So therefore, yes, it's very, this Nishringadev mantra is very powerful, to chant Nishringadev's name. With the principle of karma, can it be said that all that happens to us is good or bad? Is it completely our responsibility? Yes. In what case does Krishna's hand come into the picture? If you surrender to Krishna, he will relieve you from your karma, and your karma itself is indirectly coming from the hand of Krishna as well, through the agency of his material energy to purify you of your past sinful reactions. Can I become Krishna conscious? If I become Krishna conscious, can I still enjoy movies and eating out? Yeah, we have Krishna minds. We have some Krishna conscious videos, sure. And you can go down to the temple and take prasadam, sure. And we have a restaurant downtown. You want to watch mundane movies? Then you're an idiot. You're really an idiot, because they pollute your consciousness. And if you will stick with this process, I guarantee you, you will have access to an unlimited stock of cinema. You know where it is? When you achieve the sakti stage of bhakti, then there's a transcendental cinema within your heart that becomes activated, and you can see all the pastimes of Krishna within your heart. You don't need any hardware to do it. You already have the hardware right here called consciousness. When you achieve that level of purification, you can see Krishna's Leela right within your heart happening, live in full technicolor. So don't cheat yourself by wasting time going to the stupid rubbish cinema. My wife and I fly constantly over here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. We fly all over the world. 60 flights we took last year. Most of them are long-haul international flights with a full stock of videos loaded right there in front of you, your little thing. You just press the button, you have 60 or 70 videos to choose from. How many movies have you watched last year? Zero. We don't want to waste our time with that garbage. It is advised not to use the index finger while chanting or applying tilak because the index finger represents false ego. In that case, what do the other fingers represent? I've never seen anywhere in Prabhupada's books that this is discussed. Although we do know Prabhupada did tell us not to use this finger. It's mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, actually, not to use this finger for chanting. I even was told in South India, a very strict Brahmin, he will take prasadam like this. He won't use this finger. So, as far as representing false ego, I've never heard Prabhupada say that. So, we don't use for chanting because Prabhupada trained us like them. What happens if a person practices devotional service for a few years, takes initiation, later on falls back to a karmic lifestyle? What are the reactions? He'll suffer like anything, but he'll never forget Krishna. And eventually he'll come back. At various stages or situations in life, we take certain risks. Can this tendency be said to be a kind of gambling? Not necessarily. Going out on sankirtan is a risk. That somebody may not like you for this approaching with a book. Someone may say something nasty to you. One has to take risks in Krishna consciousness. I wouldn't advise doing things like, you know, daredevil sort of risk. It's just for the thrill of the risk. You know, like somebody just walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls, you see. That kind of stuff is a useless waste of time. But for Krishna's service, yes, you can take risk. And take all kinds of risks. Prabhupada risked everything to come to America. How to make a habit of reading? Just start doing it. Give yourself 15 minutes a day and read. And if you're a poor reader, it's okay. Just do it and gradually you'll develop the art. How do you believe that Krishna and his name are the same? It's not a matter of belief. I don't believe it. I know it. Because this name of Krishna has completely transformed my life. How to get rid of bad habits? Replace them with good habits. How to get rid of anger? See, everything is the arrangement of Krishna. What is the difference between Krishna and Vishnu? God at home is called Krishna and God at the office is called Vishnu. How someone will know if that he or she took rebirth? By hearing from the Bhagavad Gita. If someone has no or less taste for scriptures, how can they develop that taste? By reading the scriptures. When studying the scriptures, how can one apply the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam in our day-to-day life and take suitable decisions? By surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master. That's the purport of these books. And he will guide you how to do everything perfectly. Get any benefit from the material world to make progress in spiritual life? Yes, by engaging in Krishna's service. If Krishna is the ability of man, is he the ability to rape and murder? Krishna also says, the fish is I am the shark. So does that mean if a shark eats you, you've been killed by Krishna? No. No, Krishna is not... wicked, evil things are not a manifestation of Krishna. Must we offer milk from commercial dairies, from cows that are abused, raped, have calves stolen on the day they're born and killed after 5 years because they have no use? No, you don't have to do that. You can get your own. You can have your own cow. That's the best thing. Can we be vegan until ISKCON gets dairy farms running? Well, Prabhupada said we require milk in order to get the proper brain for understanding Vedic knowledge, and he drank milk from such poor cows that were being abused, which is actually a great mercy for those cows. Some people say, I don't want to do it. Well, no one's going to force you to drink that milk. But don't try to impose it on me, because Prabhupada told me to drink milk. And I always try to get the ahimsa milk if it's available, but if it's not available, I follow Prabhupada's example. I drink whatever milk is available. I mean, the deities won't get milk sweets unless it's ahimsa. I mean, we shouldn't change what Prabhupada established. There's some people who want to revolutionize ISKCON and make it a vegan movement. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. We should get our own dairies. That's a fact. But until that time, we shouldn't neglect drinking milk, because Prabhupada said we need the milk for proper understanding of the Vedic scriptures. Okay, we're almost done here. No more questions. Whatever here is it. There's only three more. Five, six, okay, no more. This is it. Is it true that a devotee should not wear red and blue in front of the deities? Why not? Because it's a rule. That's why Prabhupada said that. It's not a heavily enforced rule, and because, honestly, Prabhupada had a Mukunda Das buy a red sari for his wife for the wedding ceremony. Of course, there was no deities there, but it's not like a heavy, heavy rule. But if you know there's a rule that not to wear red and blue in front of the deities, and you go to the gift store, you can think about it when you buy your next sari. Well, this is a red and a blue one, maybe I can get a different color. I mean, I don't say you got to throw away your red and blue saris. It's not some heavy thing like that. I have a really nice blue kurta, Prabhu. Should I rip it up and throw it away? No, I don't say that. But remember, it's actually stated in the Nectar Devotion. And I recommend when that old sari, that old red or blue sari, finally gets worn out and is no longer useful, don't replace it with another red or blue sari or kurta. That's what I would recommend. Because it is stated in the Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada was asked by Shalavati why not, and Prabhupada said, because it's a rule. He did say that. Where does this rule come from? The Nectar Devotion. And that means it comes from Rupa Goswami. And he's a great authority. Why he gave us the rule? I don't know. But it came from him? Yes. Do we respect him? Yes. What does it mean by feeling Krishna while chanting? If chanting is for Krishna's pleasure, I find it hard to understand trying to feel Krishna. Prabhupada told us that he told Vallabhi Devi Dasi in one letter, when you chant japa, try to feel the presence of Krishna. That was Prabhupada's instruction. So it's perfect instruction, because it comes from Prabhupada. We say that all other scriptures are bona fide, like the Bible, Quran, and what is the superiority of Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic scriptures? The other scriptures are bona fide to the extent that they give the same teachings we find in the Vedic literatures. And to that extent, they are bona fide. To the extent that they deviate from what's given in the Vedas, to that extent, they are not bona fide. Now, the final question. It is important for me to follow ISKCON, or can I get perfection in any other organization also? Actually, one does not require to be a part of ISKCON to become a pure devotee, because there were so many people who became pure devotees before ISKCON ever existed. If you have the proper bona fide spiritual master who can teach you pure devotional service. But where is there such a spiritual master now outside of ISKCON who can really teach you the most powerful, effective method given by Prabhupada? Prabhupada is the most powerful acharya in the history of the universe. His teachings are the most powerful, effective means of achieving perfection in one lifetime. We don't say it's the only way, but where is there a teacher who is on the level of Prabhupada, whose teachings are available right now on this planet? There's no one else. So ISKCON is the institution which is giving the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Technically, no, you don't require, but practically, yes, you do require. Because you're not going to get the connection with Prabhupada anywhere else. You see, ISKCON means those people who are strictly following Prabhupada. That's all. That's the meaning of ISKCON. I mean, I just went to the Satya Sai Baba temple in Kuala Lumpur, and they're not going to get the same thing because, you know, they're worshiping someone who's falsely claimed to be Krishna. You don't get the same benefit by worshiping Satya Sai Baba as you do by worshiping Krishna himself. Satya Sai Baba is not Krishna, but they're falsely claiming that he is Krishna. You see, they don't get the benefit, the same benefit, worshiping a bogus incarnation of God. You don't get the same benefit. You have to worship the actual personality of Godhead, not a cheater who's claiming to be God. It's very important thing. So I thank you all very much for your nice questions, and I'm very happy to see that your program is going on with full enthusiasm. Kindly take this process very seriously. Don't let this be anything other than your last birth in this material world. Take this process very seriously. Finish up your business now. Your human life is meant for self-realization. It's not meant for sense gratification. Understand that your duty is to become fully fixed up in pure love of God. Anything else is, you're off the track. You see, don't be off the track. Be on the track by becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. Thank you very much. Sadhu Krishna.